Ohio State on a Wednesday night. Obviously going to talk about Oregon's domination of Texas Tech, of Indiana's thrashing of Alabama, and of Ole Miss' thrilling win against Georgia. Also talk about some of the preview and some of the college football playoff stuff for the semifinals now coming up next week. Going to talk Chad Morris, Clemson offense coordinator candidacy today. Talk some Clemson basketball's win up in Syracuse. And talk transfer portal. In case you hadn't seen it, some of the big names. Clemson now up to 9. Rob Billings announced, reserve safety. Josh Sapp, tight end, who's had some experience there. Caden Story, reserve defensive tackle. And starting defensive tackle, Stephalion Green, entering there. Keep an eye out for Texas A&M, according to Paul Strelo there. Vandrigus Jacobs, the wide receiver for South Carolina, is in. Isaac Brown, running back at Louisville, is in. Big names abound today. First day, guys can enter the transfer portal. We'll talk about that. Strange situation with Ole Miss assistants now who are under contract at LSU that are expected to be at LSU this weekend for recruiting visits, but supposed to be now getting ready for college football playoff run. Be interesting to see legally what happens with all of that. Besides that, Happy New Year. The producer of the Friday show, Mr. Sam Jones. Good morning, sir. Happy New Year, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I don't even know where to start.
Oh.
I feel like I haven't been in here since the Clinton administration.
Yes, yes.
It's been 2 full weeks. A lot has happened predictably in 2 weeks. A lot is going to happen in the next... I'm going to be here next with you on Wednesday. I would imagine quite a bit is going to happen by then. I don't even know where to start. How are you?
I am great. Had a nice New Year's, a couple of days off, watched a ton of football, spent a bunch of family time, ate some great soul food yesterday, man. You know, you got to get your collard greens, and you got to get your Boston butt and your black-eyed peas and macaroni and cheese. You got to do all that for – you do that, Sam, by the way. You've been traveling all over the world. You do that southern I tell you a quick story. My cousin came over and her husband a couple of years ago, and we had all that great New Year's Day food. He's like, what is all this about? We got to have your collards. That's greens. That's for prosperity, you know, for money. And it's all symbolic. I'm not sure what the rest of it is. Anyway, he's like, I've never seen this before. You eat that stuff for New Year's Day?
On New Year's Day?
Yeah.
I did not yesterday.
Oh,
but I've
man.
Had been in the South 12, 13 years. I've had my fair share.
There you go.
Anyway, pretty good stuff.
Segment two, what are we going to do today? A plethora of things to choose
from. I mean, we can go portal. We can go Chad Morris, OC like candidacy. We could go... playoff. I'm gonna let you throw a dart at the wall because I'm sure we're gonna hit all three of them today.
Yeah.
Whichever one your heart desires in segment two, we're ready for all of them.
All right. So we were talking before the show on the offense coordinator stuff. We actually did have it on Tuesday. We had a list of about 12 candidates that we talked about. Chad Morris was one of those. It appears now that Chad Morris is the leading candidate, and I've been told not a done deal, but dotting I's and crossing T's is the only thing that remains to be done. And running in front of ADs and board members to go ahead and take care of this. But it appears Chad Morris will be back at Clemson. First time he's been here since 2014 with that terrific run he had 2011-2014. I'm getting at that today. Let's just start out with the games that you saw over the college football playoffs. And let's begin with what you saw. Let's go chronologically at least, Sam. On Wednesday night, New Year's Eve night, Miami all over Ohio State. Lines of scrimmage was a huge deal here. Miami's a more physical team here. Matter of fact, I can go ahead and tell you, you know, last night might have been a draw physically, but for the most part, three of the games at least, three of the games of the teams that had byes did not advance again. Now that's 1-7 in the last 8 of those. And the other thing is that the more physical team won. Miami was more physical than Ohio State. And they shut down Ohio State. Miami now has given up to 17 points in this college football playoffs. Did a great job of harassing Julian Sayin for a couple of interceptions. Shut down and run the game. 24 carries, 45 yards for Ohio State. 37 carries, 153 yards for Miami. Beck didn't do a whole lot, just 138 through the air, but did enough through the air. And Miami's defense and offensive line were the stories of this game.
Yeah, you know, during the year, and this is the fun part of the year where we just get to talk about how we were wrong all the time. I was wrong about how good Ohio State was. I'll eat that. I mean, I thought this I still think the defense is special levels of talent. And the defense did not lose in this football game. Carson Beck threw for 138 yards, threw a touchdown. Most importantly, he did not do what he usually does and combust in a game like this. the run game was good. Mark Fletcher was good, as he always is. Broke a couple big runs in the second half. Miami's lines of scrimmage give them a chance in any game they play against anybody in the country. And you and I were talking about it earlier in the year, and everybody was talking about it. 4 or 5 weeks into the season, Miami looked like a top three team in the country. And then the scheduled Mario Cristobal bad ACC losses came in the middle of October, and they righted the ship after that. Yeah. They had enough runway after those two losses to get themselves back in position, get carried by that Notre Dame win, handle business down the stretch. And even though they missed the ACC championship, you had a feeling if they just got in, they had a pretty good chance to win a game. Did not expect them to win that game against Ohio State. I think my last score prediction was 20-13 Ohio State wins. Miami's defensive line is good enough that they can win any football game they play in against any team. They're going to have a really, really good shot with Ole Miss. Really good shot.
Well, I totally agree with that. You know, and the bottom line is that it also appears that Ryan Day reverted back to what he's been criticized for oftentimes when he was a play caller. They just didn't run the football. Just didn't try to run the football. Bo Jackson had 11 carries for 55 yards, I should say. Donaldson had 7 for 31. That's it. He had 18 carries by the tailbacks in this game, by the running backs. And
they have been hit as hard as anybody by a coach moving on, and you can see it affecting them with Heartline.
Hey, that was one of my themes today, because when they went last year, this defense this year, they're going to go on this run and win 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 in a row, and that's what your fans are thinking. Same thing with Kirby. We'll talk about him later. But, you know, Kirby hadn't won the one now after winning back-to-back. Kirby's going to win 3 out of 4, 4 out of 5, and all these things. You know, 4 or less, next 6, whatever, hadn't happened. When you win them, you appreciate them because they don't come very often. But that certainly plagued them. Now, that said, Oregon took care of Texas Tech clinically, defensively. What they put on a show against Texas Tech. Oregon 23-0. Texas Tech looked out of rhythm. I think this has an awful lot to do with Oregon. Also think it had a lot to do with the layoff and the rust, because they looked awful. And Morton did not look like he was anything close to what he was at certain times this year. No touchdowns and 2 picks, 18 of 32 for 137. Give Oregon a lot of credit for that. But to me, this is just as much about Texas Tech just looking bad. Texas Tech's defense, I thought, played well enough to win the game. With that said, Texas Tech was just atrocious on offense. 10 first downs, just 215 yards. They held Oregon to 309. They thought they did a good job defensively, Sam. But this offensive line, this quarterback, they look rust is a great way to describe this for them.
Yeah, this is another one where I was disappointed in Texas Tech. I thought they were going to come out and look really good in a playoff game, at least defensively, which they did. But I will also say, I think Oregon could have won this game by 40. I mean, they played.
They gave up a lot. I mean, they didn't take advantage of very many opportunities.
They did so much dumb stuff point blank in the first half that made you think, why is this game only 6-0? And you question Baron Morton all year long with Hammond right behind him. Could he produce when needed in a playoff environment? He could not. Yeah. Oregon was just straight up better. I didn't think they played anywhere near their best. Defensively, they absolutely did. But they left a lot to be desired on the offensive side of things that they're going to have to clear up against Indiana. I think they probably will. I think that's going to be a barn burner of a game. Brandon Finney, if Trinidad Chambliss didn't exist, because we're going to talk about him, played the most impressive game of any player in the entire playoff. Had 2 interceptions.
2 picks.
Had a fumble recovery. Had like 5 tackles.
Yeah.
And he's a freshman.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a Leonard Moore from last year level impact on a playoff contender. Heck of a performance to shut anybody out in the playoff, much less a Texas Tech team that looked a lot better than the typical Big 12 champion that we usually get.
I use clinical to describe Oregon's offense. I use clinical to describe Indiana on both sides of the football. Mendoza, 14 of 16, 192, 3 touchdowns, no picks. On running the ball, they ran it 50 times for 215 yards. They had Alabama to 17 carries for 23 yards. Knocked Ty Simpson out of the game. This game was never close. This was dominant. Becker and Cooper and Surratt did an unbelievable job once again. Black and Hemby, and this running game was phenomenal once again. Indiana absolutely thrashes Alabama. 407 yards to 193, more than double. 22 first downs to 11, doubled them up there. Outrushed them again, 215 to 23. The more physical team, this looked like down in distance, They stayed. Indiana got 4 yards. They got 6 yards, first down. They got 5 yards. They got 3 yards, second or third and two, first down. They stayed ahead of the chains the entire game. This really looked like they were the better team from the opening kick until the end of the game. Dominant 38-3 win over Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, they gave us 7 points in the contest. Indiana minus 7. I would have taken it at 13.5. I had no doubt that Indiana was going to kill this team. Yeah. Bama's not very good. I understand they beat Oklahoma. Indiana's a well-oiled machine. It's very difficult to find any weakness with that team right now. I don't know what the path to beating them is, because you haven't seen a team do it this year. Maybe it's the fact that their D-line's a little banged up. It didn't seem to be a problem yesterday. So maybe Oregon gives you the blueprint. It's hard to beat a good team twice in the same season, but I don't really see the current weakness for that team as of now.
Then the thriller last night, Ole Miss comes back after being down 9. They win 39-34. Trinidad Chambliss was amazing with 362, career high there, 2 touchdowns, no pick. Lacey's hurt, but still got 22 carries for 98 yards. Wallace was phenomenal. Stribling was phenomenal. Caden Lee had a good game as well. Ole Miss offense comes roaring back. Ole Miss throws for 362. Georgia, on the other hand, ran the ball extremely well in the first half and couldn't run it at all in the second half. That said, a fake punt got him back in the game, but it was a fourth down snafu that really led to the Ole Miss opening the game up by 10 points. Kirby's team was not supposed to snap it, and you could say, much like Clemson where he had the fake punt, how does the head coach not know? How does everybody not know? They weren't supposed to snap that football deep in on territory. Moves to an Ole Miss 10-point lead. Ole Miss revenges a loss in Athens, Georgia, 39-34, with a great goal line stand as well. Georgia had the ball on the 3-yard line late in the game, and a goal line stand holds to a field goal. And in the end, what a win for Ole Miss now. And now, like I said, the Ole Miss assistant coaches, what are they going to do? They're under contract at LSU, some of those guys. They've got to be in Baton Rouge this weekend, but they're supposed to be getting ready for a college football playoff game. Like, what happens there? What do you do? Crazy times.
I mean, how many stories in the playoff era have been better than this Ole Miss team?
Crazy.
It's the SEC team that everyone's rooting for. How do you – I mean, that doesn't happen. Trinidad Chambliss, I think it's the most impressive performance any player's had all year, period, any position. Yeah. It's Georgia. Georgia doesn't lose to the fun underdog team. Ole Miss is really good. They're not going to be mistaken for some group of five coming in here. But compared to Georgia in a game where they don't have a coach, and for every other team that has severely impacted them, or every other team that has a coordinator leaving, it has shown signs of impacting them. The fact that this team has gotten better, seemingly, and galvanized itself here as a collective to try and get better in the wake of all of that happening is nuts. I mean, the defense is winning them these games. I know they gave up 34 points. Chambliss is incredible. But
they didn't give up rushing yards in the second half.
No, they
Georgia couldn't
down.
Run it on them.
They had a goal line stand at the end of the game when it felt like with all the 3 straight defensive holdings or PIs, they were going to give up points.
Yeah.
They hold the 3. Chambliss consistently did everything he had to do in this game, was Superman when he needed to be, was check down Charlie if he needed to be. I kind of was speechless watching the game, especially after the fourth down fake punt and then the go-for-it situation. It's incredible.
And make no mistake, Ole Miss had 473 yards. Georgia had 343.
It's just they're awesome right now. I mean, they're peaking at the exact right time.
Yeah, great stuff for sure. So now that sets up Miami and Ole Miss. Oregon and Indiana should be incredible.
Those 4 teams?
How about this? All 4 head coaches, Nick Saban's coaching tree. How about that?
One team with a national championship there, Miami, 25 years ago. It's been 25 years since any of them won one, and I don't think any of the other ones have
one. How about that, man? So, how about that? The Johnny Come Latelys here in the college football world. All right, when we come back with segment 2, let's get into Chad Morris and the offensive coordinator role at Clemson. Let's get into the transfer portal stuff, because some big-name guys coming out, and we'll talk about that as it opens up today. We've got a lot to do here on a very busy Friday show, first show of the year. My great friends at Trail want to build for you. They want to talk to you. 26 is going to be the best year ever. Hey, find out what we're talking about here with the great friends at Trail of why the better building experience works. Let me talk to you first about Trail Tailored Homes. If you're thinking about remodeling high-end home, if you think about building high-end homes, Trail Tailored Homes is doing this now. They're doing it on Lake Hartwell and Lake Kiwi, and they're doing this up at Lake Jocassee. They're doing this all in the upstate of South Carolina. Matt Root's been doing it for 25 years, building these high-end homes. Let them do that for you. And talk about this total team collaborative effort that where they're going to include you throughout the entire building process. Trusted advice, helpful options, saving you money when it's all said and done. This entire process is amazing. Ask about why and how what Matt and his team are doing at Trail Tailored Homes. Great news when they added this this company a couple of years ago. Trail Tailored Homes now building high-end and high-end renovations in the upstate of South Carolina and Western North Carolina, up in Highlands and Cashers. They'll be building those homes up there as well. Short break. We'll come back. Segment two with Sam Jones right after this.
60 years. That's how long Joe Roberson and son have been roofing homes and businesses right here in the upstate. For generations, they've protected families, local businesses, and landmarks you pass every day. Look around. There's a good chance the roof over your favorite restaurant, your neighbor's home, or even the building you're driving by is a Joe Roberson and Son roof. Why have families trusted them for six decades? Because this is a family business built on honest workmanship, fair pricing, and doing the job right every single time. And with Joe Roberson and Son, you don't pay a dime until the job is completed to your satisfaction. If you need roofing service or a new roof, trust the family that upstate families have trusted for 60 years. Make it a Joe Roberson and Son roof. Call 864-246-0886. That's 864-246-0886. Or visit robersonroofing.net.
If you run a business, you need video. Marketing video for your website, social media, employee training. You need Double Dog Video Productions. More than 30 years experience with clients from the largest manufacturers in the upstate to small family-owned businesses. Our mission is simple: the highest quality video production without the high prices. Check out our website, then give us a call, doubledogvideo.com. Let us tell your story.
I'm Ryan Beasley. My office works with clients in all areas of state and federal criminal defense to include pre-arrest investigations, white-collar defense, as well as student conduct issues at colleges and universities. Our team works in courts across the state to include city court, magistrate court, state court, and federal court. Our responsive and proactive approach in all cases is relationship-driven, client-centric, and resolution-focused. We look forward to the opportunity to work with you. Please give us a call at 864-679-7777 or find us on the web at www.ryanbeasleylaw.com.
Be part of a winning team that's making a difference in your community at Arthrex. From creating thousands of new jobs and significant campus expansions to fostering educational partnerships and philanthropic contributions, Arthrex is proud to be growing and investing in Anderson County. Experience an exciting career with a company that's dedicated to healthcare technology innovation and making people's lives better. Check out available jobs at careers.arthrex.com. No manufacturing experience required.
Experience the Davis Services difference where quality meets reliability. Family owned, serving the upstate and western North Carolina since 1972, Davis Services is your go-to for all HVAC, plumbing, and electrical needs. With decades of expertise, we ensure your home runs smoothly and efficiently, providing peace of mind for you and your family. Don't wait for problems to escalate. Call Davis Services today and let our skilled team handle it all. Call 864-432-1785 or visit our website, davisservicesinc.com today.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
105.5 and 97.5. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. I know he's going to have a huge 2026 as Carolina Flooring Specialist. They are a five-star commercial-grade showroom floor that slip-resistant. You don't get any automotive stains. You get a lifetime warranty against peeling or debonding. You get these eight colors to choose from. They're so much better than a DIY kit, so much better than any other company doing it right now because of just how this thing works, how long they've been doing it since 1999, the most experienced team out there now. It's going to take a couple of days. They'll come in, move everything out of your garage, lay down the floor overnight. They'll come back the next day, then finish things up, move everything back in. You're going to love this awesome deal at Carolina Flooring Specialist. Again, over 14,000 garage floors. Let's see what we're up to now since 1999. Over 21,000 projects. I'm sorry, 21,000 projects. Over 4 million square feet installed. Go with that experience when you go for these epoxy flooring services at Carolina Flooring Specialist. 404-8158, 404-8158. Sam, before I get to segment two, have you seen the weather for the next few days, next week or so?
I'm hearing you state that it's going to be a little bit warmer.
So 64 today. Love that. Tomorrow 51, then 57. Next week, starting on Tuesday, 64. 70, 65, 65, 66. Talk to me, brother. Talk to me. Anyway, segment two, Mr. Sam Jones.
I mean, I think we got to go in the offensive coordinator direction. Let's go. Chad Morris seems like he's going to be the hire. I mean, point blank, yep. End of story. Yep. If we're wrong on that, we're wrong on that. That seems to be where all the smoke is coming up right now. It's been a minute, man. It's been a minute since Chad Morris has done anything, really. He was the wide receiver coach at Texas State last year. He was an offensive analyst here a couple years ago. He was an offensive analyst at South Florida. He has not been an offensive coordinator at the college level since 2020 with Auburn. It's been a minute. Obviously, a lot of success here. Went on to be a head coach elsewhere two times. I don't think it's ever a bad thing, no matter if they're the worst head coach ever, to bring more head coaches onto your program and back to your program and get that voice and that level of know-how in at least running the whole show. If something, it's always good to have that, and they would have two of them as coordinators. But it's been a minute since he's run a good collegiate offense, Mickey. What are your thoughts here?
Mixed emotions. First of all, I always liked Chad. There was a time I was at the Walker course one day. He came in and he bought some golf shirts, right, to go recruiting in, right? Even though he got a bunch of Nike stuff, he wanted some other stuff. And I had this trick, it wasn't a card trick. It was actually with coins. And we were doing it, and he's like, he's a mathematician guy, you know. He's like, all right, what are y'all doing? So I was showing the sister pro at the time, and so I was doing it, and he's like, what? And it was a really cool, trick deal. And he's like, all right, I got to figure this out. And he sat there, and he was late for – not late. He was going to see a recruit over in Georgia. But he's like, all right, I got to do this. You got to teach me. Teach me how to do this. Anyway, I even forgot what the coin game was or whatever. But it was kind of a trick deal. But his mind, I could see it working. The other thing I remember about Chad Morris more than anything else was him out there on that practice field drinking those Red Bulls saying, let's go. Like over, fast. I don't know if that's still the plan. You know, Ole Miss goes fast. If you think about it, Oregon at times goes fast. On the other side of it, Indiana doesn't necessarily go fast. Miami doesn't necessarily go fast, but changing tempos, slowing down, speeding up. It'd be very interesting to see, what that looks like. You made a great point during the break. Quarterback development was big when he was here. Taj Boyd speaks very highly of Chad Morris in the time when he was here, but he developed the guy that still holds an awful lot of Clemson records there. And to be fair, he had an awful lot of receiver talent to do that with as well. It'll be very interesting to see what he's done. Now, when he left here, he was hot, and the SMU thing worked pretty good. I mean, they weren't good when he got there. 2-10, 5-7, 7-5. He went to Arkansas. It was awful at Arkansas. Just didn't work.
That's an understatement. Yeah, it's a disaster.
A disaster at Arkansas. It didn't work. Got down to Auburn in 2020, and Gus Malzahn got fired there. Brian Harsin did not keep him. From there on, he went back to high school, went down to South Florida as an analyst, and now it's Clemson a year. I remember seeing him out there, but I don't remember a whole lot about that analyst year in 2023. But it was Cade Klubnik's best year. Now, again, Garrett Rod is a quarterback coach, and I don't know how much you give credit or not through all that, but I do know that Dabo does not listen to a whole lot of folks right now, but Chad Morse is someone he's been listening to for weeks and weeks. And they've been talking throughout this season. As Chad was not a coach, he had been an observer and a confidant to Dabo Swinney. This doesn't surprise me. Whenever you're backed into a corner, you go with someone you know, someone you trust, someone you've had success with. And it was Chad Morris who rebuilt Clemson after the disaster 2010 season. So a little nostalgia there. Sometimes getting the band back together doesn't work. Sometimes going with people you do know and people you trust does work. So I'd say a mixed bag right now. And the proof will be in the pudding when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I am at it. I'm not going to sit here and act like when I saw that Chad Morris was the instant front runner upon Riley getting fired, I was thrilled about that.
Yeah.
Because you grow wary of the hiring from your own tree thing after a while and hiring from your own program. And it felt like an outside voice, even if it's been 10 years since Chad Morris ran an offense here, was kind of what they needed. But at the same time, 10 years later, is he an outside voice at this point? You kind of have to say it's been that long. It's kind of his own new thing in a way. They tried and made the correct hire with Garrett Riley. It just didn't work out. I can understand him going back to Morris in this spot. The key for me, as we talked about and you just mentioned, they aren't, nothing matters. None of next year or the next 2 years or whatever matters if Clemson doesn't have a great quarterback play. We have seen it in the playoff. Texas Tech has an excellent defense. Texas Tech has pretty good skill position players. What did Texas Tech get out of the quarterback position yesterday?
Nothing.
Nada. Irrelevant. Made them completely irrelevant in that game. If you don't have a good quarterback, what did Alabama get out of Ty Simpson down the stretch yesterday? Nothing. If you don't have great quarterback play, you're not going to win anything. I don't know if it's going to be Christopher Vezina. I don't know if it's going to be DJ Lagway or Aiden Childs' name popped up yesterday on Twitter. If Chandler Morris comes with Chad. I don't know. But whoever it is going to need development and is going to need more help to get to that elite or great level that you need him to get to actually be championship quality again. And Morris got Taj Boyd to a point where he wasn't Trevor Lawrence when he came in here. He was not a polished, finished product. He was not ready to step in and immediately be excellent. Chad Morris played a big part in getting him to that point. I think that's an emphasis for this hire. I think that's a key point of we need to get this right because we've, frankly, underdeveloped two straight five-star quarterbacks. And they're going to try their hand here with whoever's at quarterback next year with Chad Morris running the show. I'm all over the place on this hire. I think it's going to happen. It probably happens, I would imagine, sooner rather than later so they can really start to jump in on the portal. It's everywhere for me. It's a little bit of everything.
I will just tell you this. I would be a lot more in favor of it with a guy in the portal.
I got to see who's playing quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say this, maybe, just maybe, a guy like Chad Morris has more say than an inexperienced guy. You know, Dabo didn't lean on Brandon Streeter and Garrett Riley very much when it came to a lot of decisions. Whereas I think with Chad Morris, he kind of leaned on them. Chad, when you watch practice back then, Chad was in charge of the offense. Like right now, Tom Allen is in charge of the defense. Mm-hmm. Brandon Streeter is a friend, by the way. I've known Brandon since 98 or so. Brandon Streeter was a quiet personality. One of the shocking things, I did not know Garrett Riley personally, but you go out to practice and you heard about him in the building is that this socially didn't have, you know, friends in the building. Only had one guy brought with him and just didn't really get close to any of the staff members. But at practice was a quiet demeanor, right? That's about to change. You got three microphones out there at practice now, and it's going to be Dabo Swinney, it's going to be Tom Allen, and it's going to be Chad Morris. And these are three type A let's-go personalities. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be great, but it does mean it's going to be different. And you go to a 57-year-old guy, older, more experienced. You mentioned head coach-wise. I do agree with you. Now, there's head coach-wise, there's two different ways of looking at it. One is you're not climbing anymore, but two is you do get experience. So, and like he knows what the head coach, since he's been a head coach, what the head coach is looking for from him. through all of that. I always thought Chad, good recruiter-wise, you know, recruited Deshaun Watson here, worked hard at it then in those days. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very, very interesting to see. I would say today, tomorrow, while the contract won't be finalized and announced, I don't think. I think the board's got to meet compensation committee and all that kind of stuff. I think that'll be done here before we do a show maybe on Monday. But that's barring anything unforeseen, it looks like that Morse is going to be the hire.
And again, I think the thing that really works against him, if you're trying to get overly excited for the hire or get yourself in a place where you're like, okay, this is the perfect hire, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
It's been 11 years.
Yeah.
Now 2026 has been 12, right? So yeah. What is it going to look like 12 years later here? It might look really good. It might look the same. His offense may not be outdated at all. We don't know. It is a very big unknown. I think in a lot of ways, it's just as much of an unknown as hiring an unproven offensive coordinator would have been because of the time it has been since he was a successful offensive coordinator or offensive play caller, period, from his time at SMU and all that. And I'm sure he had a lot of input there at the college level. So we're going to see. You are right about the recruiting, though. I think he's going to help. The personality is a lot different than Garrett Riley's for sure. Whether that matters or not, I don't know. We're going to see. It all depends on how these players like to be coached that are on the current team. And I think quarterback development, again, is a big thing. It's a very interesting hire. It's not exactly what I would have expected them to do this offseason, to be honest with you.
Can we discuss, quickly start the conversation about portal stuff?
Yeah, oh, there's plenty.
9 Clemson Tigers in the portal. Creighton, no surprise, that's earlier, wasn't playing a whole lot. Lewis, no surprise, wasn't very successful. Adams, no surprise, wasn't playing a whole lot. Barnes, a surprise to some, didn't play very well, but a very experienced guy. Anderson, no surprise, wasn't playing a whole lot. Sapp, a little bit of a surprise, but he's graduated. So he got the degree, and he'll go play somewhere where he'll play a little more snaps and not have to split time with 2 or 3 other guys there. Billings, no surprise, wasn't going to play here. Caden Story, no surprise, wasn't going to play here. Stephon Green, the big surprise overnight to some folks of seeing that. And again, Paul Streeler reporting on TigerIllustrated.com that Texas A&M is the team to look for here. It's not tampering because you're dealing with agents. It's obviously Stephon Green last year almost left to go to a couple of schools, a couple of SEC schools. Clemson overpaid him this past year. He was successful. He was very productive. Probably their best defensive tackle, truth be told. With that said, shopping him around and trying to get the best thing for him, that he's going to get more money to go elsewhere. That's a surprise. So with that being said, plus with Woods, Parker, Terrell, and Williams – going pro, Sam, I'm doing the numbers now. Can I talk to you and just quickly fly down the numbers?
Yeah.
Quarterback, I think you got to take one.
Have to. I think you have to. I don't know if they will, but I think they have to.
Running back, you got to take one.
Yep, absolutely.
Wide receiver, you got to take one.
Absolutely, and you never know with that room still.
All right, tight end, I think you're going to end up taking one because I don't think you're done with losing tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
Can I talk you into 3 offensive linemen?
I think they probably go 2, if that. I don't think they'll go 3.
All right, so you can take me one down there. You're
gonna, I'd love to take as many guys as you can. I think 2 is probably more realistic for how much they're going to end up needing here.
All right, can I talk you into 2 defensive ends?
Yeah, you can talk me into 1 for sure. I think 1 for sure.
All right.
Helt, Lawson, 1 other guy.
Can I talk you into 2 defensive tackles now?
Yeah, you need another one. Green is the first loss in the transfer portal I really don't like.
Right.
I'm fine with losing everybody else they've lost. Green is rough.
All right. Don't have linebacker depth. Can I talk you into 2 linebackers?
1 or 2, yeah.
Can I talk you into 3 and 2, maybe 5 guys in the secondary?
They need 2 safeties to me.
I think they're going 3 safeties.
I think
the
they need at least safety. A corner. Yeah, you need 4 or 5 guys there probably. How many guys is that, 20?
All right, hold on. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. I got 18.
I don't know if they take 18 guys, but they may have no choice. I mean, the portal may dictate. I highly doubt they're done losing players.
Yep.
Highly doubt that.
All right. With that said, starter-wise, you could get a starter at quarterback. You could get a starter on the offensive line, a starter at defensive tackle, maybe, and three starters in the secondary.
At least two. Yeah, at least two.
I mean,
if Dabo's super high or Allen's super high on Strozier or something at corner.
By the way, they're not done losing players.
No, you'll they're not. It, they're
you'll
not
see more come
all.
Out today, more over the weekend of guys who are leaving. Now, again, some of those guys you want to leave. And as you mentioned it, outside, Green's the big miss so far. And that is something that we knew was going to happen is that somebody out there is offering more money right now. And that's what your agent's been shopping you around. And you'll get that. And he'll be in College Station, Texas, it looks like. So that's what is happening there. And so we could talk about that when we come back. What does it look like?
Who knows?
At those positions.
It's two weeks.
Oh, by the way, quickly, crazy. Just a quick note here. Gamecocks with 18. Clemson with 9 in the portal so far. Gamecocks with 18 in the portal.
I'm still stunned that they managed to – I know it's going to cost a lot of NIL money, and they were all down years comparatively. I'm stunned that all three of Sellers, Harbor, and Stewart are back for them.
But
I can't believe
I'm going to miss Vandravius Jacobs.
Yep.
Because I'm going to miss Todd Ellis telling me touchdown. Vandravius Jacobs, are you kidding me? Short break. We'll come back. We'll open up phone lines for the first time this year and talk Clemson coordinator, transfer portal, college football playoffs. Clemson, I didn't mention that Clemson's good win up in Syracuse, 64-61 win at Syracuse. A lot to get into when you return for more right after this.
Hey, Tiger fans, did you know up to 60% of the air in your home comes from your crawl space or basement? If moisture, musty odors, or wood rot are hiding under your house, it could be harming your home and your health. Crawlspace Medic, locally owned and staffed by Clemson alumni, offers honest, certified evaluations with no pressure and no upselling. Protect your home from the ground up. Schedule your free inspection today. Call the pros at Crawlspace Medic.
When downtime isn't an option, you need a team that knows motors inside and out.
Doug Powell and his team at IMS are knowledgeable, dependable, fast, and always willing to work around our needs. Doug's just a phone call away and always ready with valuable advice.
From repairs to replacements, Industrial Motor Service keeps your operation moving with trusted expertise and responsive service. Visit industrialmotorservice.com today. Industrial Motor Service, keep your power in motion.
Looking for exceptional senior living? Welcome to the Barclay at Clemson, formerly Dominion Senior Living and Everlawn Independent Living at Patrick Square. Now with a fresh name and the same trusted care you've come to count on. Whether it's independent living, assisted living, or memory care, enjoy top-notch care, chef-prepared meals, engaging activities, and the same friendly staff members in a community that truly feels like home. Live well and thrive at the Barclay at Clemson. Schedule your free tour today at 864-722-2811.
Concerned about a potential gas leak at home? No worries. Fort Hill Natural Gas, your safety-focused energy provider, has you covered. Natural Gas, renowned for its safety and reliability, ensures your household comfort. While it's colorless and odorless, we've added a distinctive rotten egg scent for instant leak detection. If you ever smell a gas odor, act fast and call the Fort Hill Natural Gas office immediately. For more safety tips, visit FHNGA.com.
If you need expert tree care, call Franklin Tree Service, your trusted partner in the upstate, for top quality tree work and more. From safe tree removal to trimming, stump grinding, and emergency storm services, Franklin Tree Service has you covered. Their team of certified professionals is committed to enhancing your landscape one tree at a time. The best prices around, reliable service, and fully insured. Franklin Tree Service is your go-to for all your tree needs. Call them today, 864-947-9065.
Kelley Blue Book is the one-stop shop for pricing, fixing, selling, and instant cash offering. Instant Cash Offer is exactly what it sounds like. An official offer to buy or trade your car. Woo-hoo! Just enter your VIN or license plate, answer a few questions about your car's history, and what kind of condition it's in. In minutes, you'll receive an offer to sell or trade your car that you can be sure is fair. Then choose a dealer to purchase your car and schedule a time to meet. For all of the it's, KBB.com.
The Mickey Filer Show. Experience and a name you can trust, or whatever else those news anchor promos use, on 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. My great friends at Prime Lending, PrimeLendingSC.com. Let Mark, Amanda, the awesome team take care of you. It's PrimeLendingSC.com. These guys are amazing. Your mortgage is going to look incredible. We love Prime Lending. We love PrimeLendingSC.com. Get in touch with them. Refinancing, remodeling, any kind of new home buy, let them take care of you. You're going to love dealing with them. They're expensive payoff. Get three estimates. If one of these would be a three, you're going to love that. PrimeLendingSC.com. Sam, one quick note before we get to a bunch of phone calls. I was on Twitter yesterday morning, and I got a lot of this. You know, I make fun of SEC guy all the time. And on Twitter yesterday, because there are people who, again, when the time that Oregon is playing Ohio State at 3:30, a lot of people in the South are watching Mississippi State and Arkansas. While ESPN and all these people are talking college football all across the country, a lot of people listen to Paul Feinbaum. Paul! They don't play nobody, Paul! You know, all that stuff. There was a lot of people online yesterday that said, happy Indiana Elimination Day. When the SEC shows up, they're going to find out. They ain't played nobody. They ain't played Mississippi State. They ain't played Arkansas, Paul. They ain't played Kentucky. You know? Like, this is going to be this unbelievable bloodletting that's going to happen. That the mighty Alabama is going to come in, roll in, and just destroy Indiana. And then I saw this yesterday. The SEC is 13-11 against Power 4 teams this year. No SEC team beat two Power 4 non-conference opponents this year. You heard me right. And they lost to Florida State, lost to Notre Dame, lost to Miami, lost to Louisville, lost to Houston, lost to Virginia, lost to Clemson, lost to Illinois, lost to Ohio State, lost to Miami, lost to Iowa, like up and down.
I was going
to
say, are they under 500 against the ACC yet? Because they were 6-6 at one point here.
I mean, it's amazing, but it was like all these Southern people South saying, oh, man, because they really thought that, like, that was a good Alabama team. And even if they didn't think this is a good Alabama team, well, Indiana ain't played nobody, Paul, because they're not playing in the SEC. And I just found yesterday, double the yardage, double the first downs, complete annihilation. That game wasn't going to be close. It was never going to be close. And a lot of people were surprised by that. And now they're like, well, Nick Saban wouldn't have. Well, this Nick Saban ain't coaching this team. And again, Derrick Henry rolling out there for Alabama right now. And we're going to have another, because I don't think Ole Miss is going to win it. This could be the third straight year we don't have an SEC champion. On top of that, look what's going on with this almighty SEC in the bowl game so far. Because right now, I think I'm right by saying this. Right now, the SEC is 4-8 in bowl games, and two of those wins are against other SEC teams. Against non-SEC teams, they only have two wins. ACC 6-4. The Big Ten is 9-4.
Texas is a good team. Their win was against a team without a coach.
Right. Right.
I mean.
But we fall for it every single year. We fall for it.
Every single year. If you were a betting man, three straight, the odds favor three straight Big Ten champions. That matters. I mean, that matters. And it's going to be three different teams.
And the Big Ten has been totally dominant over the SEC the last 2 years.
And maybe Ole Miss gets it and bails the SEC out here, and I'd be fine with that because Ole Miss is an awesome story. But the SEC probably can't feel good about having the same amount of teams in the semifinal as the ACC, which didn't even send its champion to the playoff.
And half of what the Big Ten has.
It's wide open.
654 Roar. Let's get a bunch of phone calls here on a Friday. James is up first. James, thanks for hanging on. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing outstanding, man. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you as well. Yeah, you hurt my feelings when you were talking about the forecast for next week. I'm headed up to New York and Boston business next week.
Sorry.
What, man? Chad Morris, man. Either it's going to be really, really, really good.
Yeah.
or it's going to be really, really, really bad.
I agree. I don't see a whole lot in between. And I don't know which one it's going to be.
No.
But it just seems like it's a polarizing deal, like it's going to be, you know, great or terrible. And we'll find out. Right?
Yeah, man. Well, I guess because people see this his decline, how defensive has caught up to that offense. No, can he reinvent himself and do something different? And I don't know, but I can see this next year, and it's maybe a bold take. If we start off slow next year, I can see the steady drumbeat to say bye to Dabo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I really do.
I can see that as well, and I would have never thought that in a million years. That it would turn and turn as fast, but obviously the game has changed. I told a friend the other day, like, what if you walking into that Superdome in January 2020? What if I'd have told you that 5 years later that Dabo Swinney might be in a hot seat at Clemson? Like, you'd have never believed me in a million years. You're on a 29 game winning streak and you're undefeated and you're about to play LSU and that you're about to maybe win your third national championship in 4 years. And now your coach is going to be on the hot seat, and there's no scandal, like there was no recruiting stuff, and there's nothing going on in the program. Like what? But it's almost like I talked about this the other day, James. It's almost like BC and AD. Like there's a line drawn in the sand.
Yeah.
Before portal, before transfer, before portal, before NIL, that was one sport. And now post-portal, that's another sport. And I mentioned this before where as much as I love Dabo Swinney, there's no bigger Dabo Swinney fan than me and appreciative of everything he's done. While he was one of the top two coaches in the country in that BC era, now that we're in the AD era, that he's not one of the top 20 coaches.
Yeah.
And the numbers prove it.
The equation changed, and he's still using the same formula.
That's right. That's right. So, now, I will tell you this. There is hope. There's some smoke inside that building that's saying that they're going to be extremely active in this portal. And that they have to, and that they're going to be they're going to spend a bunch of money. Clemson, money won't be the issue up and down the board. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to lose a starter like Green. Everybody's going to lose a guy because somebody's going to be outbid. And you can't get everybody. You can't keep everybody. You can't go get everybody. But I am told that there is some smoke, and I can't – until I see it, I want to see it first. Until I see it, I'll believe
you. The thing is, talent is good, but if you can't coach the talent, don't make a difference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But right, talent – yeah, you too, buddy. Be a safe trip next week for sure. But that being said, I'd rather have talent. And the teams that are playing – that's the one of the misconceptions, Sam, about Indiana. They're talented, man.
They're loaded.
They are so talented.
They didn't miss on any talent evaluations from high school recruiting of the little that they have right now with retention, with Cignetti coming in a couple years ago. They landed the correct quarterback 2 years in a row, really. Yeah. Work wasn't perfect, but he was great for what they needed.
Yeah.
They've landed elite group of five talent. I mean, before he went down, Stephen Daly was excellent. He went to Kent State. I mean, he was on a winless football team. So you can find guys anywhere. It's about the willingness to get them. It's about the willingness to risk things and go change up the roster and bring in guys who you don't know. If they've succeeded elsewhere, they can probably do it with you.
Totally agree. Let me get Delvin up next. Delvin, thanks for hanging on. How you doing?
Well, don't go. I got to do a couple things. First of all, with the Chad Morris situation, I know a lot of them is bad, but these are the same people who want Jeff Scott back. So Jeff Scott coming next season, I want to know what the deal between Jeff Scott and Chad Morris. What I want to know, if you got to miss back about Chad Morris, because they're basically on the same offense a little bit. And plus, Mickey, we've been saying for the past few years with Clemson, where's your identity? We know the identity of Chad Morris' offense. At least you'll have that.
Right, right. They'll have an identity. They will have an identity for sure. No doubt about that.
Yeah. As far as doing the portal, as far as quarterback, who you think, who, if Chad Morris, I think it's official, who you think would be a better fit at quarterback? DJ Lagway or Aiden Childs at quarterback for Clemson, if Chad Morris becomes offensive coordinator?
Sam, I'll let you address it first. I have a specific thought here, but I don't want to ruin it here. Sam, you like Childs? You like Lagway? What's a better fit?
I'm not going to lie. I was pretty stunned when that report came out yesterday that they have interest in Childs. I don't know how legitimate it is, honestly. I always question those when they actually come out with a list of teams. But both of those guys have a lot to work on decision-making-wise. Childs is an interesting one because he can move, and all the upside is there. I think he hitched himself to a bad wagon with Jonathan Smith. I think I'd still rather Lagway, but Childs is a little bit of a weird one to me. I can't believe they would have interest in him.
Childs is going to be a guy that, much like this Morris Howard's talked about, he's going to make somebody look like a genius or an idiot.
Yeah, you're going to be – it's hit or miss. There's no in-between with him.
That's right. That's exactly right. So,
But I think we all agree that either one of them will be better than Christopher Vezina, though.
Yes.
I think you take the upside there over Vezina.
100%.
100%. I'd rather have Aiden Childs going into Baton Rouge on
100%.
September 15th.
100%. No doubt about that.
Miggy, the portal's open now. Do you think Clemson come out with a quarterback in the portal?
Oh, man. I've been told no. But Chad Morris, if he's got the clout, maybe he could come in and change that. I don't know. I'm not trying to dodge the question. I really don't know.
Yeah. So you've been told no, didn't I?
Yeah, I've been told that Dabo was adamant and has told the quarterbacks he's not taking one.
Well, I guess we'll be looking for a new head coach next year.
Maybe. I mean,
what
if you did this, Odell? What if you did this, though? What if you put a bunch of money in the defense, you went and got all these other starters, you had a lockdown defense, and Messina was a little bit better than he thought, and you got some players around him that he managed the game okay, and you went 9-3 in the regular season. Like, you're not going to fire Dabo Swinney for 9-3. Like, that can't happen. That's within the realm of possibility, isn't it?
Yeah, and my thing is, if you're going to do that, you better get your running back running ball, because you know Chad Morris going to want to run the ball, so you better go ahead and get your running back in the
quarter. Well, I will tell you this. To me, there's two things that have to happen to Clemson football, Clemson offense this year. Number one is you have to be able to run the football much, much better. We talked about 124 yards a game. That's not going away. You got to do better than that. And number two is, you saw it yesterday, you have to be a more physical football team. There's no doubt that that's got to happen. And if Chad Morris can do that, he'll be successful. If he can't, then he won't be.
Do you think he come out with a run back in the portal then?
Yeah, but I mean, again, if a lot of that depends on, because I still think Izabume might leave. Green might leave. I think they're going to be forced to have one, just from a depth standpoint. I like Davidson. I think Davidson's got a high ceiling here. Who knows what Haynes is going to do? You know, but you know, let's see who's still left. Yeah.
My question is this. You say you heard no doubt is Adam not going to take quarterback. Why are these quarterbacks keep getting let to Clemson then? There's got to be something there then. There got to be something.
Because agents – now, again, they might still do it.
Leverage.
But because leverage. Agents put their name out there, and agents are telling these guys, hey, here's a list of teams we're talking to get other teams involved. That don't trust what you're always reading on the internet about guys. Once you see them come in for visits, yes. But the national guys are putting names out there. Oh yeah, we're associated with Alabama.
Now, you said interesting name. You said Chandler. Is Chandler? I thought Chandler eligibility was up.
He's petitioning for another year. So we'll see.
If he gets another year, I think he's going to Clemson.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
But
I can see that.
For his dad.
Yeah, and I can see that. And it's better than what you got right now.
Yeah. Well, it's gonna be interesting next.
No doubt.
But 3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks. Because
of January. Because the portal's shut down on the 16th, so it'll be the next few weeks.
You can still sign guys after that now, but you got to get him in school too now. Remember that, because school starts early this year too. Got to take care of that. Hey, Devin, always appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having
me. Take care of yourself. Nick and Hal, hang on. I promise I'm coming straight to you at the top of the hour break. But school starts early this year, and you only got so many days to enroll, and you got to do that. So Clemson will move fast in this portal. If they move, they'll move fast. Wherever they move, they'll move fast. So, a lot to discuss. Phone calls. Love to have you back. Sam Jones, Mickey Plata, the first show of the year. Hour number two when you return right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.